2 Samuel chapter 3. I want to read you four passages. I could read you a dozen passages, but I only want to read you four passages, which introduces our subject today, which is the sons of Zeruiah. The last time I spoke to you, it was about the daughters of Zelophehad. Today, the sons of Zeruiah. And one dear brother said, I'd never heard of Zelophehad. I couldn't even pronounce the word. Well, here is Zeruiah. And how many of you know all about Zeruiah and who his sons were? So you know just as much about one as the other. All right. You'll know a little more, God willing, when we get through. So, 2 Samuel chapter 3. Verse 38. This is King David speaking. And so this is David's comment on the sons of Zeruiah. Listen. And the king said unto his servants, Know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel? That's Abner. And I am this day weak, though anointed king. And these men, the sons of Zeruiah, are too hard for me. The Lord reward the evil doer according to his wickedness. So, this is what David the king thinks about the sons of Zeruiah. They are too hard for me. Well, we know there are at least two, but how many are there? Turn back to chapter 2 now. Chapter 2. Verse 18. And the three sons of Zeruiah were there. You see how simple it is? Three sons of Zeruiah were there. Joab and Abishai and Asahel. Now, this is the portion about Asahel, who is the youngest. And Asahel was as light of foot as a wild roe. And Asahel pursued after Abner. Abner is the captain of the hosts of Israel, Saul's army. And in going, he turned not to the right hand or to the left from following Abner. Then Abner looked behind him and said, Is it thou, Asahel? And he answered, It is I. And Abner said to him, Turn thee aside to thy right hand or to thy left, and lay thee hold on one of the young men and take his armor. But Asahel would not turn aside from following him. And Abner said again to Asahel, Turn thee aside from following me. Wherefore should I smite thee to the ground? How then should I hold up my face to Joab thy brother? Howbeit, he refused to turn aside. Wherefore, Abner with the hinder end of his spear smote him in the body, so that the spear came out behind him, and he fell down there and died in the same place. And it came to pass that as many as came to the place where Asahel fell down and died stood still. The first time you ever read about Asahel, you read the day of his death. Now, chapter 23. This is the chapter about David's mighty men, and it introduces another son of Zeruiah. We read about Asahel. Now, we're going to read about another son. chapter 23, verse 13. And three of the 30 chief men went down and came to David in the harvest time, unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines was encamped in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me water to drink of the well of Bethlehem which is by the gate. And the three mighty men brake through the host of the Philistines, and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it, and brought it to David. But he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of these men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did the three mighty men. And Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief of the three. This is what I've read you about the second son, Abishai. Now, 1 Chronicles chapter 10. Chapter 11, 1 Chronicles chapter 11, starting at verse 4. And David and all Israel went to Jerusalem, the same as Jebus. And the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, were there. And the inhabitants of Jebus said to David, Thou shalt not come in thither. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, and the same is the city of David. And David said, Whosoever smiteth the Jebusites first shall be chief and captain. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, went up first, and he was made chief. Now you know a little bit about the sons of Zeruiah. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for all that you tell us about every character whose life is recorded in the Word of God. And some things encourage us and some discourage us and some frighten us, our God. And we pray that as we learned about the daughters of Zelophehad, today we shall learn somewhat about the sons of Zeruiah. We pray, Father, that our study shall be profitable, that the things we learn shall be impressed upon our hearts and shall benefit us for the rest of our lives. And so by thy Spirit, empower to speak and to listen and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I told friends yesterday that the title of this message would be All in the Family, and it is All in the Family. Here are two messages of the four that have come to mind about families, like the daughters of Zelophehad, the sons of Zeruiah. And have you ever heard of the sisters of Lazarus? And have you ever heard of, and I could go on, but all in the family, and today it is the family of Zeruiah. But, is Zeruiah a man or a woman? Embarrassing, isn't it? A woman, yes. And, what kin was she to David? It was his half-sister. His half-sister. Now, I will give a reward to anyone who can tell me who the father of these three boys are. You know his mother, Zeruiah. Now tell me his father. If you do, it'll be a miracle because it isn't recorded in the Bible. I can tell you who his grandfather was. Nahash. And this is what is so remarkable. I told you there are so many verses that you need to read to understand even a little bit about it. I can tell you who his grandfather was. His grandfather was Nahash. And Zeruiah was his half-sister, and Abigail was another half-sister. And inasmuch as Nahash was the father of Abigail and Zeruiah, then Nahash's wife was either a widow when she married Jesse, or she was divorced from Nahash. And it means that she and Abigail were at least 10 or 15 years older than David was. And that is why when Zeruiah had children, they were about the same age as David. And if David's sister has children, her children are his nephews. And so these are David's nephews. And the comment that we read again and again and again is, these sons of Zeruiah, they were always causing trouble as well as causing blessing in the life of David. Now, some of you may have nephews that cause trouble. I've had two nephews, and some of you may have cousins that cause trouble. But what happens is that it's all in the family, and David looks upon them, and this is his pronouncement upon them. These sons of Zeruiah are too hard for me. And if you look at their lives, I've only read you one character trait of them. And you're not able to come to a conclusion about their personality or about their character from the one thing that I've read to you. If I wanted to, I could have read another portion and made them villains. Or I could have read another portion and made them saints. I could make them almost anything I wanted to by reading one particular portion. But what happens is this. David looks upon them as a whole of their lives, and he says, these sons of Zeruiah are too hard for me. And David himself was a mighty warrior and was a hard man. Think of David when he killed Goliath. He took his sword and cut off his head. And yet David says concerning these sons, his nephews, they are too hard for me. And so let me tell you some of the virtues, first of all, about the youngest of the three sons of Zeruiah. First of all, I will tell you the meaning of their names. I told you that Zelophehad had five daughters. Who can tell me who those five daughters were? Not a chance. But those daughters had names, and each name had a meaning. And the names of these three sons of Zeruiah had meanings too. Who can tell but the name of the meaning of even one of them? Well, I will tell you then. Joab means Jehovah is Father. And Asahel means God does. Now, Abishai is the name that you would want to give me, because Abishai's name means this, possessor of all that is desirable. Now, what is remarkable is this, that Zelophehad had one daughter whose name was almost equal to that. Tirzah, his daughter, means delightsome. And so, suppose Abishai married Tirzah. You would have a wife that was delightsome and you would have a husband that was possessor of all that was desirable. What a combination. And so, I told you about the daughters of Zelophehad, and I told you that they could never have married the sons of Zeruiah. But we can't go into that now for this reason. They had to marry in the tribe of Manasseh. But you can listen to that tape and put the two together as you're considering all in the family. But here are these three sons of Zeruiah, and all of them had the same profession. They were professional soldiers. And they were all exceptional soldiers for this reason. The lowest in rank was Asahel. But he was one of David's 30 mighty men. Think of an army of thousands and thousands. And out of that army, here are 30 men that are David's 30 mighty men. And Asahel was one of the 30. Now David also had two sets of three chief men. And the first set contains three. I shan't tell you about them. But the second set contains three chief men. And the first of the second set of three is Abishai. And let me tell you something about Abishai's prowess. With a spear, he went and single-handedly killed 300 men. And he commanded an army of 17, an army, and he destroyed 17,000 of the enemy at one time. And now we see why he was the chief of one of the three mighty men of David. And Joab? Joab was the greatest of the three for this reason. When David was attacking Jebus, Jerusalem, the inhabitants said, "You will never come in." And David put out a challenge. He said, "Whosoever takes Jerusalem first shall be my commander in chief." And Joab, one of the sons of Zeruiah, accepted that challenge, and he went and he overcame Jerusalem. And David said, "You are the chief of my army." And so think now. The least of the sons of Zelophehad was one of the 30 mighty men of David. The next one was above those 30 men, one of the top three of the mighty men of David. And Joab was head over all the armies that fought for King David. And so these are the sons of Zeruiah. All of them were professional soldiers, and I will tell you some good things about them as well as some sad things about them. But the prowess of Asahel was this. He could outrun anybody. He was as fleet of foot as a deer, as a wild doe. And when there was a battle between the northern kingdom, King Saul, and the southern kingdom, David's, when the battle began to become intense, Abner, who was the same as Joab, head of all the army, he was fleeing at that time for his life. But he was an older man, and he was not able to outrun Asahel. And I read you about that. And Asahel caught up with him. And Abner turned around and said, "Is that you, Asahel?" He said, "It is." He said, "Stop following me." And he ran again. And Asahel kept up with him. He said, "I have told you to stop following me. Why should I destroy you? I could not face your brother if I put you to death." Because here is the commanding general of King Saul's army, and here is the brother of the commander of David's army, Joab. And he said, "If I kill his younger brother, I can't look him in the face." But Asahel would not stop pursuing him. Asahel had prowess, but he didn't have as much ability as this commander-in-chief of the army of King Saul. And in a moment, this Abner simply took his spear and turned around and jabbed him with the back of his spear, and it went through his body, and he lay wallowing dead upon the ground. Now this is the lesson for some of you that have ability, but you are limited in your ability. Could Asahel outrun Abner? You say, why yes. Could Asahel outfight Abner? You say, no. Then it's good to know your limitations. There are some that can pursue a certain subject, a certain goal, but when they arrive at where this goal is within grasp, they are not able to accomplish that goal because of the formidable foe that stands before them, and they don't know that. Some can do it. If you happen to be a David and you're fighting Goliath, you've learned how to do it. But if you are an Asahel, even though you're an experienced soldier, you are not equal to Abner. And Abner, in a moment, can destroy you. And this is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking of three dear friends in the past that were fleet of foot. I've seen them destroy many of the enemies of Satan's army. But what happened was this, that these dear ones that were fleet of foot ran and they came face to face with the enemy, and then the enemy was able to destroy them. I'm thinking of a dear friend I went to school with named Tom Ennis, one of the most promising students at Emmaus 50 years or more ago. And this boy was pursuing his education. He wanted to get higher in life, and so he went to Duke. And when he went to Duke, he caught up with all of the enemy, and they started teaching him, and he was destroyed spiritually. And when some went to speak to him, this is what he said. He said, "Someone took away my faith." What happened? He was able to go to the place where the enemy was in control, but he was not able to answer the enemy. The Bible says this, "Sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, nevertheless with meekness and fear." And he went to Duke, and all of these professors were able to show him that Jesus and all that you've read about Jesus, it's a myth. It is just what man has made up. Let us show you all the errors in the Bible. Let us show you all the things associated with being a conservative. Listen to this. And Tom, who was able to run and catch up with his enemy, was not able to combat his enemy. And all you young people, you've been taught certain things. When you go off to school, you're going to face an Abner. You're not going to face a foe that you can push aside with a movement of your hand, but you're going to face a foe. And I promise you this, they probably have more intelligence than you do, because God said, not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But do you realize that no matter how formidable the enemy is, if your heart is filled with the Word of God, and if you're relying upon the Holy Spirit to bring the Word of God to your remembrance, you are equal to any man. Who is a greater enemy than Satan? You say, no one. And when the Lord Jesus was confronted by Satan, and Satan tempted him, The only thing the Lord Jesus did was with perfect reliance quote the word of God. If you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. The Lord Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Well, certainly Jesus should have a better answer than that. There is no better answer than what God has written in his word concerning any subject that exists. And when the Lord Jesus was confronted by Satan the first time, he quoted the word of God. When he was confronted the second time by Satan, he quoted the word of God. And when he was confronted the third time by Satan, he quoted the word of God. And so treasure God's word in your heart. And that is the only reason that I am not afraid of any man if he will rely upon what is written in the word of God. Let him take me one step outside the Bible and I'm no match for the enemy. But let him challenge me as to what God says about his Son and about creation and also about the inspiration of scriptures, and I will tell him what the Bible says. And you must have it settled in your heart that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. You must believe what the Lord Jesus believed, that not one jot or tittle would fail of all the word of God. But what happens is this. When you are confronted by an enemy that is wiser than you, and they start telling you things outside the Bible, you will not be their equal. You are like Asahel. You are faster than they are in some respects, but in a moment they can turn around and with a hinder part of their spear pierce you through the body, and you'll lie wallowing on the ground. And this is what Tom's brother told me about him that was a dear saint of God in the past. He said, now he goes to a Unitarian church, denying everything that we believe. And so all of you who are like Asahel, fine if you have the ability to run. But when you run, you be sure that you have sufficient weapons to overcome the enemy. And that brings this to mind. Joab, the commander-in-chief of David's army, it said he had 10 armor-bearers. How remarkable. So when he went out to fight, if an enemy came, there were 10 that were surrounding him with all of his armor. And so if you're trying to fight alone, it might be good if you take a hint from Joab and have 10 armor-bearers to go along with you when you go to battle. Now that's all that I can tell you about Asahel, because I want to tell you a little bit about Abishai, possessor of all that is desirable. He was one that caused David's heart to be grieved. Oh, you sons of Zeruiah, you're too hard for me. But do you realize that David owed his life to Abishai? Nobody was more devoted to David than Abishai. I read you about that. He was ready to risk his life to give David a drink of water. And all of you young people, you think you love the Lord? What are you willing to risk to bring joy to the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ? David just was thinking when his enemy was where he was born in Bethlehem. He remembered that well by the gate of Bethlehem. He said, oh, if I could only have a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem. And Abishai, the first of the three, the second group of three, he went and fought through the enemy to get to that well of Bethlehem. And they drew water and they brought it back and they said, David, did you say, Uncle David, that you wanted a drink of water? And it so touched David. He saw how sacrificial that it was that he said, it's only worthy of God. Well, David is not worthy of God, but the Lord Jesus Christ is. And what would you risk for the glory and to bring pleasure to the heart of Jesus Christ? Do you remember that the Lord Jesus said this not just a passing wish, but he said, this do in remembrance of me. Tell me, do you come and remember the Lord Jesus the first day of every week? He's asked that. And Abishai, when David, a sinner, wanted a drink of water, he risked his life to get a drink of water for David. And what are you willing to risk for the Lord Jesus? What sacrifice are you prepared to make? And I'm speaking to you older ones as well. What sacrifice are you prepared to make for the Lord Jesus Christ? And so Abishai was one that David was devoted so to that he was willing to risk his life to get a passing wish of David fulfilled. Oh, for a drink of water from the well at the gate of Bethlehem. And Abishai said, I will risk my life to get Uncle David a drink of water. And he did, and he was successful. Now, let me tell you this. If I ask you, who is the giant slayer in the Bible? You will say, David. He did it with a slingshot. Did you know that Abishai also was a slayer of giants? Ishbi-benob was a son of the giant. And when David was fighting, he was no longer a youth. He was getting into middle age, and he was out fighting. And this son of Goliath, this son of a giant, came out. And as David, as a youth, was able with a slingshot to kill Goliath, he weakened in strength, and all the power that he had was parting from him. And this son of the giant came to destroy David. And Abishai, his nephew, came up and he killed this son of the giant and he saved David's life. And so that's how much David owed Abishai. And tell me, what would the Lord Jesus say that he owed you? What sacrifice, what risk have you taken for the Lord Jesus? How much do you treasure him? What have you done to cause the Lord Jesus' glory, his resurrection, his reputation? What have you done to maintain that reputation? Because the Lord Jesus himself would never grow weak, and the truth never grows weak, but in the minds of men, it does. And we need those like Abishai to come and rescue all of these accusations and things that could fall upon the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. He needs assistance like this. God said, I have need of nothing. And yet the Lord Jesus said, go get me a donkey, say that the Lord has need of him. And the Lord Jesus at the well of Samaria said to this Samaritan woman, give me a drink of water. And so God, in one sense, understands, has need. And so some like Abishai comes with the existing needs of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's all that I can tell you about Abishai. But I want to tell you a little bit about Joab. That Joab, having attained the highest position as commander-in-chief of the army, he determined never to lose that position, no matter what happened. When Abner came and was going to cast in his lot with David, and Abner had been commander of more men than Joab, Joab said, David is going to make him commander-in-chief. And so he simply went and treacherously and cunningly murdered him. Amasa, another nephew of David's, was going to become commander-in-chief. David said, I'll make you commander-in-chief. And so Joab goes out and he calls him to give him a kiss and he sticks his sword through his heart. And also, inasmuch as Absalom has rebelled against David, and if he kills David, if he kills David's son Absalom, then David will remove him. It makes no difference. He goes, and when Absalom is hanging in the tree, he murders Absalom. And at the same time, when David says, I want Uriah murdered, he says, I can arrange that. And so Joab was a murderer. Do you see why David said, O ye sons of Zeruiah, you are too hard for me? And perhaps Joab was the hardest of all. But, whereas I want to tell you so much about Joab, I want to tell you something that is most important. I told you how Asahel died. You are not able to tell me how Abishai died because it isn't recorded. But I can tell you how Joab died. And typically, understand, typically, I wish that I could die that same way. Solomon learned of his treachery because he was a turncoat. He was determined to remain commander-in-chief. And so when Adonijah wanted to be king, he cast in his lot with Adonijah. But Adonijah was put down. And finally, again, when Adonijah rose up and was going to be king, and Joab was to be his commander-in-chief, Solomon said, he's going to be put to death. And this time there was no fighting. And Joab simply fled into the tent of the Lord and took hold on the horns of the altar. And Benaiah was sent to destroy him. And he said, come forth. He said, I'm not going to come forth. I will die here. And Solomon said, then put him to death as he clings to the altar. And this man, who had been one who killed so many, died where I typically want to die. The altar represents the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the horns of the altar, the power of the efficacy in the precious blood shed on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this man who had murdered so many is clinging to that cross, the horns of the altar, when Benaiah comes and puts him to death. And that is where I want to be when the Lord Jesus Christ dies. What? Trusting only in the sufficiency of the death of Christ on the cross. And that is where Joab died. And so this is a little bit about the sons of Zeruiah. And perhaps at another date I can tell you about others that are all in the family. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for men, and we look at the things they did in their lives and we are afraid. And yet we can imagine, our God, that this Joab, at the end of his life, perhaps repented and went and laid hold on spiritual things. We remember that thief on the cross who was there because of a life of crime. And yet when he died, our Father, that thief was holding onto the horns of the altar. And so was Joab. And all of us, Father, who have trusted in the precious blood of Christ and his death for us, we also are holding on to the horns of the altar. And so, our God, may your Son not say to us, you are too hard for me, nor we are too weak and effeminate for him, but let us be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, and let us know when to show mercy, and let us know when to be merciless. Help us, our Father, to learn the lessons from the sons of Zeruiah. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.